Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, it was a Wednesday morning, and there was a young woman. Her name was Lindsay. And Lindsay woke up from her sleep, as hopefully we all do every morning. And the alarm was buzzing, and sunlight was coming through the curtains. And she reluctantly and slowly shuffled out of bed to face another day at work. At that moment, she didn't know it, based upon what she had said. But that day was going to be a pivotal moment that would reshape her understanding of love, but particularly self-love. Because she went to her office, and she's sitting at her desk, and I can relate to this many years ago, and she's surrounded by a sea of papers. And at that moment, her world came crashing down. She had gotten an email, you know, that didn't have any good news for her. She was being let go from her job. She was being laid off. Of course, she was initially in shock and caught off guard by, you know, the information that she got, and she felt kind of like the ground was shifting right under her feet. And as reality began to sink in, soon after, she started having some panic attacks, and that became her constant companion, and anxiety kind of hovered over her every thought that she had. And the weight of all of it kind of pushed her into a dark pit of depression. And of course, she sought solace from an enlightened therapist, a spiritual therapist. And what happened, Lindsay uncovered the truth that she had long had overlooked, and that was the importance of self-love. Because she came to understand that despite her unwavering dedication to her job, that it would never love her back the same way. And her counselor has showed her that true love must begin with herself, by honoring her needs, by prioritizing her well-being, and speaking words of affirmation to her own soul. Louise did it so well in that promotion that she did. We could have just left right after that. She said it all. But Lindsay learned to listen to the whispers of her heart, learned to treat her body, treat her mind with kindness. And she learned that self-love is not in any way selfish, but the foundation on which all forms of love are built. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter and 36th verse, it says that Jesus was asked by one of his followers, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, well, love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all your mind. And then he went on to say, this is the first and greatest commandment, but he continued with, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when it comes to that second commandment, most of the emphasis is placed on loving the neighbor, and we should love our neighbors, but not so much focused on loving ourselves. I think if they wanted to expand that second part of that commandment, it would say, treat yourself as you want others to treat you. Treat yourself as you wish the world or the universe to respond to you. There was a family that had meager means. euphemistic way of saying she didn't have any money. They didn't have any money. And they were challenged to meet, you know, their needs every month. I don't know if you ever had the time. There was too much month, but not enough money to meet it. Anyway, they lived in a small village, and despite what their limited means and resources, they had this tendency every day to go out to a garden that was outside their little home. And every evening, the whole family would gather as the sun would set, and they would gather in the garden to tend to the flowers and the vegetables and all the other things that were growing there. And one day, they went out to the market, and they stumbled upon a delicate wind chime that was crafted from some wonderful, colorful glass. And of course, they were enchanted by its melody and by its charm, and they decided that they were going to buy it, even though that meant sacrificing other things that they truly needed. And so the mother went up to the shop owner and asked, well, could she make the payments on this thing over time? I think we used to call them the layaway plan. And the store had a policy. He didn't really do that, but for some reason, he agreed to do it for her. And so every week after week, the mom would come with some payments for that piece of magnificent art. And sometimes the payment was very little. Sometimes it was a lot more. And of course, the store owner was curious and knew that they were spending money that they really could not afford. But that mom would come in and pay for it anyway. And so several months went by, and the mom and the family eventually owned this piece of artwork. And the curious owner began to get into the mom's business. And he said, you know, you've been coming here week after week to pay for this thing. And I know life has not been easy for you. It's been kind of difficult for you. And there's so many other things you could use that money for to take care of yourself and your family. Why are you doing this? And the mom said, well, you know, we have this special place, this garden, in which we only allow the most beautiful things in there, because that's the place where we truly live, and we live our best life, and we spend most of our precious time in that one wonderful place. And I think that mom was bringing us a message today that we live with ourselves. And we want to examine ourselves and see, what are we allowing in our environment? What are we allowing in our awareness? Is it beauty or is it ugliness? What do we remember in our mental environment every day? Do we remember the things that went wrong? Do we remember the things that maybe have been said by folks that didn't really represent who we are? Do we remember the things that didn't go quite right in our relationship with other people? Or do we allow ourselves to be living in an environment that's filled with beauty? I think herein lies one of the guidelines for self-love, of treating ourselves as we wish the universe to treat us, treating ourselves as we want the world to respond to us. And as we allow and develop the guideline to allow the beauty to remain, beauty rushes to us. Because that's what we're interested in. That's where our attention is. You know, basic spiritual law says whatever it is we are truly interested in is the only thing we will experience. It's the only thing we'll take home with us, so to speak. So we want to have a level of awareness of not using our memory, not using our minds, but hold fast to the so-called bad things or negative things, but to use this place to be a repository of beauty and of love and of truth, of our being. And we can do this. Now, of course, one of the things we could do is speak to ourselves positively, speak well to ourselves. It's interesting that Louise had talked about that exercise from Louise Hay. And I used that same exercise when I first came into New Thought. That was one of the first things that I did, is, you know, look in the mirror and say, I love you. Like somebody used to say, that if you look in the, go into your bathroom and your lip prints are not all on that mirror, you need to talk to yourself a little bit more about how you love yourself. You need to do like this young boy is doing in this clip. If we can get that little clip to come up.
When I look myself in the mirror, I say, I'm handsome. I am blessed. Victor is highly favored. He's cute enough. He's just blessed. I don't care if you're gonna tell me I'm smart. I already know I'm smart. I don't need anybody's opinion. Me, I'm blessed. And it's truth. It's the facts that rely on the Bible. I don't need anyone's opinion. So title does not matter. What matters is in me.
He said, what matters is in me. The title doesn't matter. He looks in the mirror every day and say, I'm blessed. Because we remember what it says in Matthew. It says that every idle word that we speak will be accounted for in the day of judgment. And the judgment they're talking about refers to not some place in the distant future or some far off place. It's referring to the fact that judgment or the consequences for our life are set in motion by the words that we use right here and right now. Our words have power. They matter. And when we change the words we use to describe ourselves, we begin to reset the direction of our life, and we can magnify love for ourselves and for others. Because what happens, our words begin to influence our actions, and over time, our actions begin to create our life experiences. Understands, I always like to say, God did not make junk. God did not make any mistakes. God did not accidentally create anything. Who we are, it's the absolute best that God has created as far as we are concerned. And our words should reflect and affirm that truth. So we want to be and be led by what that young man was saying, knowing that the truth will come out the mouths of babes. We just need to listen. So just affirm with me, if you will. Just talk with me together. Let's say it together. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am loved and highly favored. I am beautiful.
I am wise.
I am whole. I am prosperous.
I am creative.
It's true. Thank you. It's the truth. That's the truth of who and what we really are as spiritual beings. And understand that whatever follows the I am will eventually follow you and me. You know, I had a spiritual teacher that told me one time that we all create stories that describe our lives. So when writing those stories, don't let someone else hold the pen. Don't let somebody else hold the pen writing your story. We want to write our own story, because not what one speck of our self-worth is dependent upon what other people think or say about us. We define who we are. No one else. We define who we are. And as we run through, so what we want to do, we want to run through as big a list as we can of the things we would like to define our life. Affirm love for ourselves, because the words we speak to ourselves about ourselves matter. And I have to catch myself from time to time, and I might be saying something crazy. I might be saying something crazy about myself that I would never allow another person to say to me, but I'll say it to myself. We want to say, stop that. No, stop that. That is not true. So that's what we want to do. Be careful about the words we speak about ourselves. But there's another guideline for self-love, and that's don't give up on your dream or your vision. You know, I think the only failure in the world is the individual who has given up. We have to hear that sometimes, because when we wake up early in the morning or we go to bed late at night, when everything is still and quiet, when we begin to engage in that quiet time of prayer or meditation and study, it's in those moments we'll begin to hear and see God's intention for our life, and we'll begin to see that and feel that. Because the common experience that people are having and runs through the human experience is something along the lines, we hear the message, oh, there's not enough good to go around. There's not enough this or that. But when we begin to get in tune with our vision or dreams, we'll rise above that. And we'll catch a vision, we'll catch an inner implosion, will take place, and we'll be surrounded by dynamic beauty and the love of God itself. And we'll see there is a divine and God idea for our life. We'll see it, and we'll no longer be held captive by the gloom and doomsayers that sometimes bombard us with their message. We'll no longer be held captive by the common belief that runs through the human experience. We'll no longer go out into the world picking up vibrations from other people and other things around us in the news. We're not here to pick up vibrations. We're here to emit vibrations. We need to go out into the world filled with the divine spirit, radiating that dynamic goodness, being an agent of absolute transformation in our life. I'm talking about the God presence here. God is love, a God that loves us with an everlasting love that is within us and can never leave us or forsake us on any way, shape, or form. So in the same vein, the true ear heroes are defined by people not giving up on their dream, who are going for it. I mean, even if they seemingly fail over and over again, or it doesn't come into manifestation, there's something wonderful taking place anyway in the thought atmosphere. There's a transformation taking place in character. There's a transformation taking place in our consciousness because somebody's going for it. You're going for it. You're changing the thought atmosphere of the planet in which we are living, and we're affecting not only future generations because they're going for it, you're going for it, but you're affecting the people on the other side of the planet that don't even know you because you've not given up. I think this is the real hero or heroines of our day. Not just individual scoring touchdowns. There were a few individuals scoring touchdowns today for the 49ers. They're heroes in their own right. It is the individual going for their dream, holding fast to that vision, doing something every day. And it causes an atmosphere to change within them. And they're neutralizing those negative thought forms of not enough and it can't be done, impossibility thinking, providing an opening for the Spirit of God to come through us, to be revealed in our human experience. When we go for our heart's desire, that's love for self. We're redefining what a hero is, and we can be a hero every single day. So we don't limit ourselves by doing something that we think is possible. What we really want to do is bring in something that only with the presence of God will it happen. Because I say if we're doing something that we know we can do that's only possible, then we're limiting what's possible in our life. So we don't want to limit our thinking to what's possible because really on a human plane, it's impossible. You know, when we try to do that, you know, mediocre minds will attack us. You know, I always say that, you know, mediocrity always attacks excellence. When you're trying to go for something magnificent, it'll come down and try to attack you, but don't listen to it. Well, you know, I don't know about you. I'm going to be watching the game later on today, so I'm not going to speak too long. Got to get back and check out the game. But you know, the quarterback for the 49ers, his name is Brock Purdy. And I think in a couple years ago, you know, every year they have a draft, the teams, and then they have the person who is drafted the very last. The last person picked for a team, he was that person. And they called that person Mr. Irrelevant. And the reason they call that person Mr. Irrelevant, almost every year when someone's the last person drafted, not only do they not make the team, and they don't even play. They're not even part. You don't hear from them anymore. But you know, today, Mr. Irrelevant is going to start in the Super Bowl. He had an impossible dream. He didn't give up on his dream. That's loving something that is moving within you and me. That's big. It's magnificent. And yes, all of us, I think, on some level want to change the world. I know I do. They may say, oh, those are illusions of grandeur. I just say that's just God speaking, saying what our purpose is on this planet. Regardless of how it manifests, or even if it doesn't manifest in our lifetime. Like I said, just going for it changes the world. This is part of loving ourselves, going for that dream that our heart is saying to go for. You know, a few years ago, I was interviewed by a member of the spiritual community I was in. And she needed some people to start answering questions about work and vision and that sort of thing. And she asked this question. She said, Rev, what would you say to someone that maybe has going through hard times, maybe lost their job or they're suffering from a lot of limitation in their life and they're hopeless and everything seems to be bleak and they're experiencing despair every day and everywhere? And as I thought about it, I said, well, you don't ask easy questions. But I think the first thing we need to be aware of, that basic spiritual law says that how we look at a particular situation or circumstance determines the thoughts that come through. Because every thought is creative. Every thought has a tendency to manifest after its own kind. And I say to all of us, and I say this to myself, oftentimes when someone says, oh, I said something that they connected with, and I said, really, I'm just speaking to myself. I'm just saying it out loud for others to hear, just in case they might get something out of it. So I say to all of us that we must begin to realize that we're on a great adventure. And a person on a great adventure has an entire way of looking at the world different than someone who's looking at the world from lack or limitation or being afraid or losing and place their attention on a not enough resources, not enough that. When we're on an adventure, we may not have enough of something. It may not be manifesting in that moment. But when we're on an adventure, there's a heightened awareness and expanded view that we know it's going to work out. We're just going to see how it's going to work out. We're here on this adventure called life. We're here on this adventure of divine love here. And when we're on an adventure, we don't define ourselves by visible resources. We don't define ourselves by the circumstances that seem to hold us captive. We define ourselves by our inner attitude. We say, I'm on an adventure. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know it's going to turn out good because the presence of God is good and God is within me. Yes, we know there are things that need to be transformed in our individual lives. There are things that need to be transformed in the world and the planet in which we live. We don't deny that, but we're absolutely convinced that with God, all things are possible. With the loving presence, all things are possible. With God awareness, all things are possible. That we are the love of God seeking to be expressed. And this love is not going to come, as Carol was singing, it can never die. But with God, God awareness, all that we seek, know, and desire are possible. And when individuals rise up and see themselves as the limitless beings that they are, on a great adventure of transformation, oh, our whole planet that's bound together by so many things on the internet, computers, smartphones, social media, whatever's going to be invented tomorrow or was invented this morning before I got up, there can be an instant transformation can take place. We're bound together by all of this. And love is what binds everything together. It's just waiting for a consciousness to rise up and say, now is the time. Now is the time for peace to prevail. Now is the time for compassion to prevail. Now is the time for forgiveness to fill our hearts. Now is the time for love to break out all love all over. Now is the time to love myself unconditionally. And we don't define ourselves by circumstances or past history. What we do, we tell God stories. We tell self-love stories until it's so indelibly imprinted in our mind that the fragrance of love is oozing all over us and into the world. And with that divine love, we shall uplift this entire world into a whole new way of being. God is all that there is. Love is all that there is. And that love is waiting to be expressed through and as us. And when we make that the activity of our awareness, we realize there is nothing more self-loving than that. Peace out.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transform.